Hello, my name is Rich Bowen, and this is Plus One, the voice of the Apache Software Foundation, and you may have previously known it as Feathercast. Today, I have several people with me from the Apache Airflow project, which just recently did a 3.0 release, which is a major milestone in the community. And we're going to talk a little bit about the project and a little bit about the release. Let's start with some introductions.
Jarek Potyuk, I'm a PMC member, individual contributor, which is an Apache Software Foundation member as well.
Hi, I'm Amok Desai here, a PMC and committer at Apache Airflow, and I work as a senior engineer at Astronomer.
Hi, I'm Rajesh Vishnadeo. I am an SDM, Software Development Manager at AWS, and I manage the Apache Airflow open source team and assist with the service team as well.
My name is Jens Scheffler. I'm also Apache Airflow committer and PMC and working for Bosch in the automated driving and using Airflow and therefore being power user as well.
So we have a wide variety of vendors here, which is one of the topics that I want to bring up. Let's start with the 3.0 release. Now, I've done a number of interviews with this group, a couple with Jarek over the years, so we don't need to go into a lot of detail about what Airflow is, but tell us about the 3.0 release. Why a major new version? What's in it? What can people expect? And how is the migration going to feel going from a previous version?
It's actually 3.1 now. So like 3.0 is already a pastime and like something that we forgot about because we moved to 3.1. But 3.0 was mainly about making Airflow, which was traditionally kind of ETL beta pipelines processing, into the new world of machine learning AI processing, which is also a different kind of data pipeline processing, but a little bit different than the traditional ETLs. So the story with 3.0 was that last year we realized that people are already using Airflow for all those machine learning data pipelines, even if we never meant it to be for that. But you know, like it happens that people use Airflow a lot, and they use Airflow also for that. So we figured out, okay, what do we have to do now to make it even better for this kind of workflows? And that's where the idea of Airflow 3 was born. Like, what can we remove from Airflow 2, which was holding us down? And what can we add to make it better prepared for those kind of workflows? That was the main theme behind Airflow 3, basically.
Another important aspect that drove the decision to Airflow 3 was security. So, you know, you have AI, but you have a lot of organizations now that were very concerned and focused on security. And the concept of security started from a journey that started many years ago talking about tenancy, but the crux behind that was about isolation, security, being able to, you know, have different teams working in their respective areas without cross-pollination or having to share information that should not be shared. And when you look at features like TAS SDK that really promote that separation and allowing that opportunity to introduce the user's preference of security in terms of how to manage it, that was, I feel, at least another important aspect that helped drive 3.0.
One more thing that I want to focus on is we listened to what most users talked about in the Airflow surveys of the last 2 years, right? So there was a lot of ask on things like bag versioning and security, as Rajesh already mentioned, and also a need for a more event-based or event-driven scheduling, in addition to, you know, possibilities to run your tasks anywhere, which comes with the new redesign of Airflow in Airflow 3, new architecture redesign, so that it brings in remote execution and a potential to write tasks in any language as an add-on bonus. So that's also something that, you know, gave birth to Airflow 3.
A few years ago, I attended Airflow Summit in it was Montreal, right?
Toronto.
Toronto. It was in Toronto. And while I was there, I was able to attend a meeting where there were a number of different vendors present. And one of the things that we say in the Apache Software Foundation is that people participate as individuals rather than as a company. But the reality is that we all represent our corporate interests and our customers in this conversation. But what I was really impressed with in that meeting was how people seems to care about the project over, you know, and there were even cases where people would disagree strongly with their manager within that meeting. How have you fostered this kind of a culture in your project?
So I can tell this maybe from the vendor neutral side, kind of as we are using it as a user mainly, and then we started contributing heavily to it. I was also surprised when I joined Toronto, like you being there the first time. I would have also anticipated it totally different from the vendors mainly contributing. And it's mainly really a community thing and a people thing. So I believe it's one core foundation of the community that we respect each other's stakes and that we work closely together, even though we might be kind of a co-opetition, not competition, but co-opetition. And it's also very much appreciated that one company contributes features that might also help the other company as a competition, but still, if everybody is working together, it makes more sense and also vitalizes the ecosystem that we try to build around.
I love to chime in from the vendor side of things because representing a large component to the community there from AWS. To echo a lot of what Jens talked about in terms of the closeness of the community is a very important factor when you come from a vendor side. I can't speak for all vendors and providers in Airflow, but for some of the larger vendors that we have, like, you know, the folks at Google, the folks at Astronomer, there is that bond that exists there for the purpose of the community and Airflow as a project. And then there's that business side of it. And when we come together at a summit or a conference like that for the best interest of the community, the business side is almost taking a back seat while we focus on the interests of the people that are there. One of the secret sauces, I guess, from an AWS perspective, which may not be a common thing, is that, and I have the privilege of working on both sides of it, the service side, which is the managed provider for Airflow, and the open source side. And the secret there is keeping them separate. There are tenants within the open source team that are solely dedicated to open source and Airflow and the community itself. Those individuals work with members of the community as collaborators on the project, not as business competitors. And then there's the service team time, which is obviously focused on, you know, customers of AWS. But being able to keep that separation allows the team to contribute, even from a vendor perspective, and a large vendor being AWS, being able to contribute and maintain that individuality for the project, which is, I believe, is absolutely necessary for the project.
And one thing I would add, we are all friends in the community. Like, all the people who are contributing, we like to work with each other. Recently, we even coined the term, like, we argue with smile. I mean, we actually argue a lot, and sometimes even very fiercely. But, you know, when we got to the dev call, we just literally came from the dev call to make this conversation, to make this recording. So we had a dev call of Airflow community. So we start usually with some jokes about what's happening now. We have like big discussion about how do we vote right now. And that was kind of, we were arguing a lot, but we are literally smiling while we are, you know, discussing and even opposing each other. And that makes a big difference in the way how, you know, the whole community works together because we are just friends. We like to work with each other. We like to help each other no matter which side you are on or which vendor you're from or whether you're independent. And the nice thing for me personally is that our vendors or those who are contributing, they recognize how important the individual contributor part is and how important the Apache Software Foundation and Apache Way is. And they are contributing back. Like, I'm, for example, supported by, you know, Astronomer, Google, Amazon some time ago as well. And everyone is kind of like happy to have people who are working and supporting them who are independent from their kind of like employees.
I attended an event last week about building collaborative communities. And one of the things that was talked about was how you manage it when your village becomes a city. And, you know, it was this analogy of when a small project where everyone knows one another and is friends begins to grow. I've been tracking metrics across the Apache Software Foundation for several months now, and consistently, almost every week, Airflow has more first-time contributors than any other project. Last week, 14 people, according to my stats here, 14 people had their first PR merged. That is staggering growth. How do you onboard those folks into your community culture?
So we have a clearly documented contribution guide, and I believe that is also offloading a lot of Q&A, kind of beside, of course, dev list and kind of a rich Slack discussion where people as first-time contributors could ask. Kind of the main entry point is that we have it clearly documented, the contribution guide and how to get started, the easy steps, and also we focus a lot on making first-time contributions easy as possible, kind of from finding a typo in the documentation to making one line change to then attracting people as a first-time contributor. And also due to this new development and Airflow 3, we also saw technology-wise a lot more contributor attendance. So that kind of using universities, other people who like to experience their first-time open source came to Airflow. And we try to make our best to attract the people as well, because kind of we also see that a lot of people coming as first-time contributors, but we also see a very good retention rate of after the first-time contribution, there's usually a second coming, and that's making also very much of the community that we get the contributors on board.
The number that you mentioned, right, 14 to 15 new contributors in 1 week, so we had the Airflow Summit very recently, right, a week ago. So we have consistently been running this first contributor workshop at the Airflow Summit, where we get a bunch of interested people together. And prior to that, we invest a lot of time to make our initial steps very easy. Recently, we made a change where we brought down the setup guide from a few thousand lines to just short of 100 lines, just so that people know just enough to make their first pull request. They do not need to know all the configurations and all the options when they are, you know, trying to fix the documentation. So we ran that workshop at Airflow Summit, and we got about 14 new. So maybe that's the number you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes. And we ran many of those workshops in the past. I think it's north of 20. Of workshops over the last 6 years, and many, many people run them. And even now, those workshops are run by people that we have no idea that they are doing that. Like, I was at PyCon PL, PyCon Poland, 2 months ago or 1 month ago, and I was speaking there, and I found out there is an Airflow workshop which is run by someone who I had no idea who he is. And I went there and like helped a little, but yeah, that was like, wow.
So within the open source team, we have an onboarding document for any time anyone new comes into the organization. And that has evolved, you know, from the time that I started with the team to where we are today, where, you know, 3 years ago, it would take maybe a new individual about 3 or 4 months before they onboard and cut their first PR. Now it's actually part of their onboarding. So we expect, you know, their first set of contributions to happen within the first 2 weeks of joining the team. For folks that have left the team, and I've paid attention to this in Airflow stats, I've seen that it's been a year or 2 years after, and I still see a few contributions still from these individuals because they continue to use your Airflow in their new places of work. And the third part of the example I want to give is that Airflow has started to spread a little bit now within AWS. It is not just within a managed service. There's other parts of the organization like SageMaker that is now incorporating Airflow as part of their data pipelines. And instead of passing work, like let's say we want to create new operators for Airflow for the provider, our Amazon provider package, instead of passing that work on to the open source team, we are actively becoming sort of like the subject matter experts for anyone interested in Airflow, and in fact ask those individuals to do the contributions themselves. So we saw in the Airflow Summit in Seattle, the last presentation at the very end of the day were two individuals from SageMaker that contributed their first set of operators to the Amazon provider package, which is completely outside of the open source team. So spreading that message, getting more people involved, it all continues to build the society, the community.
In addition to getting together at Airflow summits, which of course not everyone can go to, how do you manage the fact that your team is distributed all over the world? and make sure that they are, you know, still collaborating and understanding the priorities.
Kind of initially when we started to cut Airflow 3, we collected as the main contributors together and thought about the themes and we collected them. We have a process, the Airflow improvement process, where we write up Airflow improvement proposals and we try to collect them and find volunteers to contribute. And then to say divide and conquer, divided different working groups where some individuals were leading the major improvement stakes. And then we're collecting a small subset of community workers together so that kind of a small subset of people usually contribute to a bigger chunk of work. But besides the proactive organization, also kind of that's a very big benefit of the global distributed community. We saw also by people passing along by a well-managed board of tasks and kind of the backlog being managed in slicing up the task, that also new contributors came in and even also contributed to bigger chunks of work. If that is well documented, communicated, and also the community helped even not being the core expert, that was pretty impressive. And especially the distribution. One major theme was that we renewed the web UI. Everything else before was written in classic Flask and HTML and kind of felt like 10-year-old UI technology. And we totally ditched it and made it fresh in React. And due to the change, a lot of TypeScript competency was needed. And initially, the community collaboration rate was not high. But because of React is such a popular technology, we really attracted kind of a lot of people with the React skills to contribute. And even we gained a few more committers now. And we really see the UI commit rate really impressively increased by this. So kind of also the bigger change chunks also had opportunities in strengthening the community. And it's really great.
One thing that was crucial is the leadership of leading the whole 3.0 development. So we had like astronomer team mostly, and like Vikram and a few other people taking the lead on guiding us and making sure that we are going in the right direction, and you know, like correcting the course when we were going off the track and things like that. So while we are completely like distributed, separated, and working independently, this leadership was necessary to actually move things forward in the right direction. And the super interesting thing was there that like it was like astronomer just, you know, and Vikram, they volunteered to take the leadership, and everyone else, including the competition, followed and got along very well. So that was really fantastic kind of stewardship, like to taking the stewardship over the process. And everyone was like okay with this and following that. That was kind of crucial for the success, I think.
Well, thank you all so much for your time and for your expertise, and especially for running what is one of the communities that I tend to point people towards when they say, "Where can I get involved with Apache?" Because I know that you'll be friendly and welcoming. So thanks again.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. Bye, everyone.
Bye.